Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The play, Dinner with Friends, by Donald Margulies, won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama in 2000. The currently running Roundabout Theater Company production of the show is directed by Pam McKinnon, the Tony Award-winning director of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and Clybourne Park, and stars Jeremy Shamos, Darren Petty, Heather Burns, and Maren Hinkle. Maren Hinkle's Broadway and off-Broadway credits include Electra, A Thousand Clowns, The Tempest, Graceland, Miss Julie, Blue Window, Jason with a Y, and Wonderful Time. She's appeared on television on the Sarah Silverman program, Brothers and Sisters, Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, and played Judith, Jake's mother, on the CBS comedy series Two and a Half Men. Maren sat down with me in New York City a few weeks ago. Maren Hinkle, welcome to the Roundtable.
It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
So how did this project come across your table?
I have worked with the director, Pam McKinnon, on two other plays, and she knows what I feel about her, which is awe. I also have worked with Donald Margulies, who's the playwright, and he also, I hope, knows how I feel about him. And I guess they were searching for people to be in the show, and someone must have mentioned my name, probably an agent. And I feel incredibly blessed that they decided that I would make sense in the role of Karen in Dinner with Friends. So I guess it came about by perhaps having had these great relationships from the past. I was just blessed that they thought I would be appropriate for the play.
What is it about Pam McKinnon's direction and working with her that you respond to?
I was just thinking about this today. I have to say, it's rare that I've come across a person, let alone a director, who has as much calm and a respect for others. She truly, truly seems to value the collaborative process. She has an incredible sense of patience with actors. And also, I think she's so highly tuned to the needs of the text and to the honor of the playwright. So Donald was in the room for a bit, and she really, really wanted him to be able to speak, and then she wanted us to really, really honor his text to an extraordinary, a real finesse. And we would have just rehearsals in which we would dive into every kind of nuance of the text, even the dashes where someone cuts you off and the why of where they exactly do that. I find her the most respectful, patient, generous director. I just am so amazed by how calm she can be in the face of sometimes that artistic chaos that happens.
And what is it about Mr. Margulies' writing that you respond to?
You know, that's kind of hard to put in words. There's a visceral thing that happens with certain plays and certainly with certain playwrights where you hear the text, you hear the language. And when I've seen his work, I have an incredible memory of going to see Sight Unseen when I had just gotten out of school. I walked in and it was like every line caused some sort of, you know, emotional response to me. I mean, it went inside me and I went, oh my God, yes. And God knows I wasn't a, you know, 45-year-old Jewish man that was having, you know, questions about his artistic life, but somehow that character of Jonathan Waxman went inside me and I thought, I get him. And Laura Linney's character of the German, you know, art critic went inside me and went, oh, I get her. And that is true across the board with all of, I've seen Time Stand Still, I've seen Lohman Family Picnic, I've seen, you know, so much of his work, and I did a play, God of Vengeance, which is one of his works, and every time I'm either seeing or working on a piece, it feels like language that brings me home. I feel so alive to the way he speaks, to his voice.
He's incredible at putting real people on the page and showing them to the audience. What is it about your character in this play? How is she developed as a person, and what are you finding as you develop the role?
Well, it's funny. Donald actually walked into rehearsal the first day and said, you know, I think what we could do is just have everybody play the roles they're given one day and the next day switch to the other role. You know, so there are two men in the play, and so they would switch roles, and then there are two women to play, and we would switch roles. So your question is interesting because sometimes I find the words that the other female character speaks to be something that goes, oh my God, I so agree with that. That's the perspective that I understand. And then my character might be sort of in an opposing position for a moment. And I go, wait a minute, who is Karen right there? So there are parts of Karen that were challenging to understand sort of philosophically. Her views on supporting her girlfriend who's fallen in love very quickly. That was something that I had to stop and say, oh, I would have maybe had a different perspective about how to support that. But again, what I love about Donald is each part of each character connects somehow. So there are plenty of things in Karen that I so easily understood. And the ones that were more complicated for me to maybe to get behind, it just took a beautiful sense of bringing her into my sort of philosophy or me into that her philosophy, and then not being judgmental about her, letting her truly speak what she speaks with a kind of commitment and not a sense of actor judgment.
Tell me about your co-stars in the play.
I will with absolute reverence. I'm working with Jeremy Shamus, Heather Burns, and Darren Petty. All of them are exquisite actors and exquisite people. I had seen all of their work on stage and in film and TV. And when you get the news, a phone call from an agent saying, here's who gets to be in a show, this was one of those moments where there were so many things that I was going to have to do to juggle to make this work. But when I heard the cast, I sort of incredibly easily jumped on board. You have to be really fine-tuned in this show. You have to be incredibly trusting. It's a dance of delicacy. And to be working with these guys is so intrinsically part of how the show can either fly or not. And I feel so lucky to be with them. They're amazing in the show. It's been a really extraordinary learning experience to be able to work with them. Jeremy plays my husband, and I'd seen him for years. And all the people I knew that had worked with him said, if you get a chance to work with that guy, you better take it. And sure enough, he does not disappoint, nor do the rest of them. It's incredible.
The show is running in the Laura Pels Theater, which is an intimate space. It's a nice, smaller theater. Do you like working on the stage where you're so close to the audience?
I do. I had just done a play at LCT3, Lincoln Center's third space, which is a tiny little house there, 100 seats or so, maybe 120. In the past few years, I have a child, so I haven't done that many pieces that run longer than 2 months. So some of the bigger theaters tend to have their shows run longer than 2 months. And so when I first got this job, there was a part of me, because of my personal life, that thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to commit to a longer, time commitment. And then when I did and I embraced it, I thought, oh, wow, I haven't worked in as many bigger theaters in a while since I've had this child. And one of the things that is greater about this space is that I love the largeness of the audience to be able to respond. And you do have to sort of reteach yourself to let your physical body out in a bigger way in these theaters. So it's funny, when you asked me this, you asked me what it was like, because it's a very intimate space. It actually is larger than what I've been used to doing of late. But it does have a great sense of intimacy, you're right. And I do love that about working in front of people, is that they're right there with you. Particularly, there are two scenes where Pam has moved us sort of forward to the audience. One is in a flashback scene. And I love that the audience is right there. The other day, Jeremy Shamus and I have a part where we're grabbing salt shakers and pepper shakers, and one of them fell into the audience's lap. And she literally took it and put it under a chair. You could tell it was going to give it back at the end of the play. And I felt like, yep, we're all having dinner together. Wonderful.
How old is your child?
My son is 10.
Other than the logistics and time management of being a mother, has motherhood altered your art or your work in any way?
That's such a great question. Thank you for that. Actors and actresses are fragile and fractured people. We spend a lot of time getting rejected and a lot of time searching for work, not finding it. So let's say that the downtime is inevitably kind of immense. And one of the greatest things about having another person in your life to love like this is that downtime never feels like downtime. It feels like uptime, because you get to actually have that shared experience with someone else that takes you away from your own, difficult struggle of pursuing work. So it has been an utter joy and something that I feel so lucky to be doing, so that when I'm not in that other place of where's my next job, I know I always have another job, a very important, most important, more important than all job of being a mom.
You mentioned on stage having to open your body and be bigger, but you've also worked on screen and film and television.
And that must be a very different, much smaller type of acting.
Yeah. You know, I do find the different styles, or shall I say, I find that when you have, you know, big audiences and big theater, smaller audiences, or, you know, no real audience except a director who has the headphones and the headsets on listening with a crew around you for a film or TV show, I find it kind of a beautiful challenge as an actor. I love the idea that you do have to navigate what it is you're playing to. And obviously with a camera in front of you, you're playing to something that then is going to be, you know, with some of my TV shows, I was lucky enough that they were seen by millions of people. So you have to be aware, lots of people are going to see it, but they're going to see it in their living room on a little TV screen. So, or a big TV screen, as seems to be the case these days. But so I guess you could say I just had to kind of take that as part of the education of being an actor, that I had to sort of sort through how you kind of, in a very delicate, nebulous sort of way, understand the size of your own audience, I guess, and camera being an audience. It's funny, on a sitcom, so I've worked on 2.5 Men for a decade, or a little longer actually now, and that's actually an interesting hybrid because it has a theatricality because they put studio audiences in front of you. Right. And so you do have to turn yourself out a little bit to the 5 cameras that are taking you in all sorts of different kind of camera angles. And again, there's an audience in front of you too. So that one was a very complex thing for me because it was like, oh, you've got a camera in front of you, but you've also got an audience. They're going to be laughing. That one was really tricky to navigate.
I can only imagine. Do you have to learn how to do that on the job, or is there anybody to give you pointers on how to balance all of the cameras and audience?
What a great idea you have. I think there should be some kind of consultant that actually works with actors as they sort of change what their forms are. No, there was nobody there when I started working on 2.5 Men to sort of go, here's how to do it. In fact, I had just had my child and was taking him 9 days into his life to work with me. And that was very generous of 2.5 Men's producers to let me do that. But I had to sort of hold him, give him over to someone to hold as I tried to figure out how to be this new mom in real life and then this mom on this TV show. And I have to say that those are the days where learning curves have to be enormous, where you just literally learn on the job. And in less than, you know, a few weeks, I was like, wow, I've never done a sitcom before. And people are going to see this, so I'm going to be sort of messing up in front of people. So good luck. Take a plunge, and you better not drown. Sometimes I felt like I was, but you sort of have to learn to swim and stay afloat.
Do you learn from watching your co-stars, and can you ask them sort of how to manage it?
That is also a great question. I was so lucky that Charlie Sheen and John Cryer had done numerous amounts of work in situational comedy and had been incredibly successful, both of them, in that realm. So I would watch them, even in the read-throughs, and go, wow, they are experts in this. And I am going to, Holland Taylor's on the show, Conchita Farrell. These are women, too, who have done that for years. And I really did learn on the job and feel so blessed to have gotten the experience of learning and being educated by them.
And without going, it's, you know, sort of old dramatic news, but without going into it too much, was it strange to be around the cast shift, the Charlie Sheen events, and then Ashton Kutcher joining the show?
Yeah. You know, I am playing a woman who gets a divorce on the show. And one of the things that's interesting is that that woman became a bit less important to the show. My character, Judith, was not needed so much as time went on. So in answer to your question, I wasn't really around that much during the changeover. I think I've only worked with Ashton a few times, and it's been wonderful. And he's utterly fantastic in that role. And it's a very different kind of show now than it was when Charlie was there. I really didn't see anything that people read about and heard about. I don't even know if it really happened, some of it. You know, in other words, it kind of, the hoopla got so enormous, sort of go, well, what really what really went on? And the truth is, and not just that I'm dodging the question, what I experienced with Charlie was always a sense of enormous respect, and I thought he was extraordinary in the job. And then obviously something happened that shifted at the workplace. I wasn't there to see it. The sad thing for me, if I'm allowed to speak personally, is that I kind of lost my job, so to speak, when Charlie left, because my character then shifted and the structure of the show altered. So that was an enormous pain for me. I really felt the sadness of something that had gone on for many years and that pretty quickly then was altered. But, you know, again, we're actors that get jobs and then lose jobs. And I had to sort of deal with that one as I always deal with it, well, where's the next job, hopefully, you know? I get to work at the Roundabout. Yay, that's a pretty phenomenal next thing to step into.
Have you worked with Roundabout before?
I have. I have a funny story, which is a really delightful beginning of trusting myself, or trying to trust myself, because it's always an ongoing process. I was doing a play regionally. I was doing Our Town, and I got a phone call from the agents that said, it was in New Jersey, it said, can you get out of rehearsal today to go meet Herb Gardner for 1,000 Clowns, which the Roundabout is doing. And there was an actress that had just departed. And I think that the first performance was 5 days later.
Wow.
So I had one of those moments where you kind of just got to trust some crazy hope and instinct that you're the right person for the job, and that they will trust you, and that if you get the job, somehow a miracle will happen and you will figure out how to make this thing fly. And I honestly look back as one of the greatest risks that a theater probably can take, is to take someone I had not done Broadway before. I had not done anything that large in scale, and sort of I didn't know what I was doing, but I walked in, I'd done a little part in I'm Not Rappaport, the film, and that's, I guess, why Herb called me in. And then I just feel so blessed that somehow Todd Haynes decided this is the woman we want. I wasn't even a woman, I was probably much more of a girl. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Judd Hirsch, and I played Sandy Markowitz, and I was in that play, and it was a long time ago, I don't even want to date myself, but it sort of changed my life, because when someone gives you that kind of trust, you take it and are so thankful, and then you sort of have to learn maybe to take that kind of risk more often in your life. And there are times when I have things that are really challenging for me, I go, wait a minute, I learned lines and got onto sort of the Broadway stage of the Roundabout in 5 days, so I can do this other thing that feels monumental, you know what I mean? So we kind of get inspired by those kind of challenges. So that's my long answer. I feel very lucky to have gotten that experience.
We are just about out of time here, but I was hoping before I let you go that you would talk about what it was like to work on the Sarah Silverman program.
Of course, I will. I got to play Sarah's mother in flashback scenes, and she was so dear and hilarious because she kept saying that I reminded her of her mom, which is the only reason I got the job. Maybe I looked a little like her. So it was a little odd because I would want to hear more information from her about what she needed me to be. And she would just say, you know, trust yourself. Come on, just do it, whatever. It's like she literally is so fantastic because, again, like what I was just saying, in this profession, there are no right answers. And you kind of look for them sometimes. That's the kind of way we were educated growing up, you know, what's right, what's wrong. And Sarah has that part of her clearly, that doesn't go for right. I mean, she's going for whatever makes sense to her. I think in the moment, she's unbelievably spontaneous, keeps that crew laughing constantly. And I just sat there going, I have a lot to learn from the way she takes risks. And she certainly does and always has. And I hope, pray God, she always will, because she's an exciting and incredible performer to be able to have worked with.
Maren Hinkle stars in the Roundabout Theater Company production of Dinner with Friends at the Laura Pels Theater on 46th Street in New York City through April 13th. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.